yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring, boring, boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Ratner.
Lead off walk, tying run aboard. Here's Lowe. Swing and a drive. Hit a deep right field. At the track. At the wall. Goal! Nathaniel Lowe, his first Red Sox homer, ties the game at 3. For the tie and for the Jimmy Fund.
It was exciting. Yep, it was exciting. The new guy, Nathaniel Lowe, hitting the home run to tie the game, sending the game into extra innings at Fenway Park. Will Fleming with the home run call. What a call it was. What a home run it was as well. But alas, it was not to be for Nathaniel Lowe and the Red Sox. Red Sox dropped another one, third straight, second straight to the Orioles. And all of a sudden, the American League wild card is getting a little crazy. Kansas City Royals, the team, when I told Adam Ottavino, told him, I said, if you want to identify a team that's going to come out of nowhere, it might be the Kansas City Royals. And sure enough, now just 2.5 back of the wild card. All right, well, we wanted to take a deep dive into something which I found fascinating, which is the ability of 21-year-olds to function at such a high level and under such a microscope on such big stages. I am amazed by this. I am amazed by this. So I talked to two guys who are 6 months apart. Both are 21 years old. Roman and Anthony and Jackson Holiday. We're going to start out with Roman Anthony, who you talk to. He's been on the podcast a few times. And, of course, every time you hear him, you're like, he just talks like a human being. He's not boring. He's not measured, but he can function. I mean, he had a press conference an hour before a game to announce a $130 million contract. He's 21 years old. So I wanted to find out what was what when it came to what makes him tick and how you learn to be that way at such a young age. It's a conversation I had with Roman Anthony, and then it's a conversation I also had with a friend of his, Jackson Holiday, who has lived this life for a little bit longer than Roman Anthony has. But still, same demeanor, same vibe, same approach, same maturity, all of it. I think it's a worthwhile exercise, and along the way, we find out some cool stuff about Hall & Oates. Why not? All right. Well, I appreciate everybody for listening. Everybody for listening. I'm going. Baseball Isn't Boring on the ground, boots on the ground, New York City coming up. Huge series. Huge series. Yep. Red Sox, Yankees, boots on the ground there. But why you're waiting for that? Why don't you just soak in another great podcast? And by the way, go to the socials, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. Such an honor and privilege to be part of the Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon. Raised a record total of money, $5 million. Just such a great event. Playing such a very, very small part, but so honored in doing so. So, again, go check out the socials to get a little bit more of insight on that. We'll steer in the right direction at BB Isn't Boring. But once again, we appreciate everybody, and my appreciation is paid for by giving you this podcast. I hope you really, really enjoy. First up, Roman Anthony. Right after him, Jackson Holiday.
Roman Anthony, who would you rather be talking to right now?
Who would I rather be talking to?
Yeah, who would you rather be talking to right now?
Nobody.
Right, thank you. Thank you. There's no, because there's nobody I'd rather be talking to. That was the first time I've ever did that. So congratulations.
Thanks.
First for everything.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, let's see. That's my gift to you for signing up contract.
Let's go.
I want to ask you about about where you learned. Here's it's a deep question. We'll get to the Hall of Notes thing in a second. Okay. But where you learned to sort of handle all this stuff. Like, you don't know what it's like to handle all this stuff until you have to handle all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you handle all this stuff. Give me your power rank, your top three things that allowed you to handle all this stuff. And I should clarify
power
this.
Rank.
Yeah, I love power. Who doesn't like a good power rank,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I should clarify. I mean, like, not necessarily like hitting and playing, but just like, there's a lot, man. Like, there's, and you never had, I remember when you were introduced as like the minor league hitter of the whatever, and you had a gray suit on, and everyone was asking you about the Roman Empire, and that was the introduction. And you handled yourself well, but doing what you've had to do, like the guy that comes up, the guy that signs a contract, the guy that does a press conference an hour before the game, the guy that's talking to Jim Oakes like myself, like all that. Tell me, power rank the reasons you're able to handle this at 21 years old.
Yeah, I think you prepare me really well because I don't ever really answer these questions until you ask them. So then when you're done asking, I go home and I think about it. So that way the next
it's
time.
It's a great point.
So that way the next time you ask me something like this, I'm prepared.
We're workshopping it, right?
Exactly.
I only ask you if you're signing a contract extension 50 times. So, yeah. So.
No, but I think it's kind of a broad answer. Like my family, my friends, my coaches, like the people around me growing up, I think did such a great job. I grew up around a lot of players who had good long careers, a lot of coaches who played, a lot of guys who have, you know, been in my shoes in a sense. And then my family, my parents, the way they raised me, the way that, you know, being the youngest of three, that I was raised with a brother and a sister, and always being around older people. And that maturity just kind of builds inside of you when you're always around older guys in clubhouses, when you're the youngest of three, when you're always hanging around your brother's older friends, like things like that. I think, you know, all that has kind of contributed to, you know, where I'm at now.
I can tell you a lot of kids who are the youngest who were not, would go the opposite way.
Yeah.
But do you remember the first time, do you remember the first time you were interviewed? Like, do you remember, like, the origins of you being interviewed? Were you in Little League? Were you in Pony League? Were you in AAU?
No, I mean, I think, like, interview, like, real interviews, like, when I was going through the draft process, you know, junior, senior, high school.
With media or with teams?
Teams.
But
I think like that, you know, you meet with scouts, meet with teams, and then, you know, you're kind of prepared to be in front of a camera.
Did you feel like you nailed it? Like you do, we joke about, like, doing these help. And by the way, it's a fact. It's science because Tori Lovello, you know, manager.
Yeah.
He used to honestly come on, do these stuff, whether it's radio, whatever, because he knew that that was going to be part of his job.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. Anyway, but you know, so but as you did those, did you feel like, okay, I can do this? I feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think a mix of that, and like I've always just been honest. I've never really tried to put on an act when I'm in an interview or something like that. I think, like, you know, being honest and just being well-spoken and being true to whoever you're talking to is important, and I learned that a lot through the draft process, and I continue to learn that on a weekly basis with you.
Yeah, we'll keep at it. You're getting there.
Yeah. But no, I think that all kind of helps you prepare for it, and then you know, you talk in front of groups of people and they kind of just, you know, get bigger as you go, and the crowds grow a little bit or maybe, and you're put in front of a bunch of microphones. But I think just, you know, being honest, being true, and being transparent is important.
Well, I'm going to give you a compliment now. Sorry, earmuffs if you want. But it is, like, you handle it really, really well. And because when guys get called up, even in the minor leagues, there's a lot, you know, like when people went to Portland last year, they want to talk to you, they want to talk to Marcelo, right?
Yeah.
In Worcester, they want to talk to you, only went to the Marcelo, or Christian. But I think what you hit the nail on the head, which is, let's not make it a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because I think some, to be perfectly honest, I think some guys do.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, to me, it's like, you know, it's like talking to a teammate or a friend in a sense. I'm just, it's the same idea. Just talking with a group of people, maybe, just being honest. I feel like that's always helped me. I've always just, you know, said what's on my mind and then been pretty honest.
How about being in a press conference? Like, that's next level. Was that weird? Or were you just thinking about, I just want to get out of here and play it again?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah. I think, you know, when you're in a press conference or something like that we were recently in, like, you got to play a game in, like, an hour. And you're just
bizarre.
Obviously, you know, you want to send a good message out and be honest. And for me, it was like, all right, I was super excited for it because that's a great thing. And I was excited to kind of share that with the fans and with everyone that was watching and all the people that were there in the room. But again, it's just me going up there and me being honest and sharing my experiences and sharing my excitement.
Well, like you said, you handled it well. Can you tell me where you were? I don't think I've asked you this, or you've been asked, maybe you have. Where you were when that call came in, where ultimately it was like, okay, this is, they're offering this, and this is what we sort of want. Like, when that call came in, where were you? What was the feeling like? Well, so where were you, I guess?
I was leaving the field one night, like, later after a game, a little while after, and my agents were here and my family was
here. Oh, they were here, okay.
And so it wasn't a phone call. It was like when I walked out and we were talking to them, obviously that was the hot topic of discussion that was...
Wait, so you were leaving after the game?
I was leaving like after a game, I was leaving the field.
Okay.
And kind of walked out and then we spoke amongst each other and that's when they had told me like, hey, you know, they everything's kind of agreed upon.
And so what was that feeling like? Because you're kind of compartmentalizing it probably a little bit, and then you're like, oh, shit, this is a reality.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, I don't think it's really set in yet. I don't think it's,
not really.
It's been something where, like, I've had time to really, like...
You haven't got the two-week cycle hasn't hit yet?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is hit in a sense, but I think... All these great moments that you have during the season, at least for me in the past, it's been, okay, I get to the off season and I'm able to go lay out in the sand on the beach back home and be like, wow, these were pretty cool moments. And you're kind of just reminded of them as you go home and see all your friends and family and everyone who you haven't seen. And then it hits you a little bit more then, because here it's like, okay, we got to, you know, again, you sign it, you agree to it, you got to play a game in an hour, and you play the game, and then you go and you travel to the West Coast, and then from there you play the next day on the West Coast, and it's like there isn't really time to go and sit down and you know, celebrate, or even if you do celebrate, there's not really a moment where it hits you where you're like, oh wow, this is
so hasn't it hasn't felt like there hasn't been a moment where like, oh, this feels different. Once you clear yourself for the press conference, but
I think other than just the
people like me asking you about it.
No. Well, I think more it's you know, when you do it and you, I don't want to say get it over with because it sounds like something you're in a rush to do, but
no, but
when it's done, you take the field for the first time, not having to think about it anymore, not having to, you know, think about everything that comes with it, because, you know, regardless of, you know, when you're in those talks or when, you know, you're talking about anything or you're feeling anything, you know, everyone's like, just drop it when you go play and clear your mind. And it's not always super easy to do that, but I think when it's done and you're able to just go out and you know, say, all right, now it's just time to win and continue to try and win, I think that's when it hits you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Like we say, well, yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about it because you have years upon years upon years, but once it's introduced, it's introduced.
Yeah.
And that's put in your head.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
So, yeah, it's great to just, you know, more than anything, not get it over with, but understand that you're in such a great spot and in a great place for a number of years. And, you know, there's nowhere I'd rather be than right here talking to you.
So we sat right here, and I think you said, and I get it, like you said, we're worrying about the season, we're not talking, right? Which is fair. And then, like, it's not your fault that they come back and say, hey, we want to talk, right?
Yeah.
But was that a surprise?
Surprise, I mean, I wouldn't say surprise, given that we've talked before and understanding that, you
but
know,
it's deep in the season, man.
Yeah, and then knowing the, you know, it's a business, and then, you know, probably understanding that they were going to want to talk at some point. And then, again, when I say, you know, I don't want to talk, I want to go play, it's not, I'm not saying I don't, like.
No, I get it.
But it's a blessing to be able to talk and to be in those conversations. So when they want to open it back up and they're serious about it and kind of sudden, it's gives you a sense of, okay, you know, maybe this is more real than it is last time, and maybe this can be something we get done.
So when we were sitting here and I was asking you about your back, congratulating you on being young, were you thinking, please don't ask me about the contract? Please
don't ask me about the contract. I actually wasn't. No, I don't lie to you. I don't mind.
No, I know.
It wasn't something that I was going to talk about.
But that's my point. You don't lie. Anyway. So that's the problem. I understand. Like, I can tell you stories. Let me tell you a story. Rick Porcello, the day before, like Crochet, what he did, like the day before, I talked to him. But I get the position you're in.
Yeah.
But still, that's why I ask. And I know you don't lie.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's one of those things too where you don't want to like jinx it in a sense. So I didn't really say a word to anyone or about it at all anyway until it was like set in stone and everything was done and the MRIs were done, everything like that. I don't want to speak anything, put anything out there and be wrong. So.
And it was a pro move pivoting to Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
In case people don't know, immediately after, maybe my head was churning, maybe like, oh, I gotta ask, that's one, like, but it doesn't, you immediately put me on my heels by saying out of nowhere, first time in my life, am I familiar with Hall & Oates?
It was a well thought out plan, for sure.
And I have no, why? Because they were, once again, what were they? They were playing Hall & Oates?
Tristan.
He was playing Hall & Oates? Or he was going around saying Hall & Oates is awesome?
No, Tristan was playing in the weight room and I was sitting there rolling out and I was like, wow, this is a good song.
Oh.
This is catchy. And he was on that vibe, that, you know, of music, those songs, you know, those throwback songs. And he was going with, like, I think an old school kind of playlist and heard that song and it's like, wow, it's a great song. And he shared it with me and I came and asked you that same day.
Right, and I just assumed it was because I was old and wearing a different shirt. May or may not have been. Say, where's the old guy? So I know that we're not going to, my goal before the year ends is to have you fall in love with Pearl Jam. That's my gift to you. But I do want to end it with another power ranking. Because I didn't ask you. I just went around bragging about how I'm tight with NLE Choppa. Like, and, you know, I can, it's a long list of people that I'm tight with in the music industry.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to tell you something later. But, so, power rank, top three for you. I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
Top three artists?
Yeah. Like, who's your top three? I haven't even Googled.
I like Drake and Lil Wayne a lot. I'm sure that's.
Ooh. You know Lil Wayne's a Red Sox fan?
I know. We've been talking about how we want to get him out here.
He was in the clubhouse with
maybe
that.
You're the guy to get that set up.
You ever heard of Cody Ross?
Yeah.
Cody Ross used to play outfielder.
Yeah.
He knows Lil Wayne. He brought him in the clubhouse one time.
Yeah, it's Lil Wayne.
What did I say?
Little.
Well, I
Little. Yeah, there you
all
go.
All right.
We've actually talked about it quite a bit and how he sings about the Red Sox a little bit sometimes in his songs.
You want to look into the camera and say, make a plea to him?
No, I mean, we'd love for him to come by. We have a lot of Lil Wayne fans in the clubhouse, and that's our go-to pregame.
Is it really?
Is always Lil Wayne.
So, really? What's the go-to? You know, it's,
I mean,
okay.
Any, Trevor and Willie are huge. You know, put the music on. I'm a rookie, so I don't touch the iPad
music. It's seeped into your pores.
But it's a lot of Lil Wayne.
Okay. And who's the third one?
I don't know.
Those are the top two. Drake. Yeah. Drake and Lil Wayne.
Drake and Lil Wayne.
Like I almost like hurt my throat saying that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go. I don't know. I like a lot. I kind of just listen to everything. Listen to all different genres, but those are the two that.
Pearl Jam will be number three, but in another month. So yeah. I appreciate everything. I mean it. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Jack Nolan. That's a fact. So I was sitting here almost in the exact spot with Charlie Morton. And Charlie had a great line. Charlie probably had a lot of great lines with you, right?
Oh, yeah. He's a man.
Yeah. And so he said, if you get a chance to figure it out, they give you a chance to figure it out, then figure it out. And in our times that we've talked, like, I've learned a lot from, like, your perspective of, because you have a unique, you know, upbringing and progress. And, but I don't know if, like, something like that hits or if you have lines like that. Because I ran home and told my kids, I'm like, hey, if they give you the opportunity to figure it out, then figure it out. And then, by the way, he went on a run. It was really, really, really
good. Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I don't know if there's been things like that.
I mean, I don't know if it's not as unique as that, but like pressure is a privilege is something that I've been told in my upbringing and kind of throughout the minor leagues, and getting called up is pressure is a privilege, and that's something that's kind of stuck with me because without being in this position, it's kind of a cool thing to think about. You got pressure, you must be doing.
When was the first time you felt pressure?
First time I felt pressure?
I mean, probably when you, like, someone realized your dad.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just something that you deal with. I think growing up in a baseball family with a dad that had a great career, and I mean, ever since I was little, that's kind of been a thing. I didn't think I looked at it as pressure growing up. I just enjoyed playing the game.
Yeah.
And then once you get older and being picked first in the draft and being a top prospect and then making your debut and not succeeding, I think you feel it a little bit more whenever you fail.
Yeah.
As far as whenever you're playing great and having great results. But it's definitely something that I lean on, especially for which.
When did you have to surface that? This is sort of a cliche question, but when did you have to surface that the most? Like, another way, when you have to remind yourself that, hey, listen, it's not only a poster I'm going to put up on the wall, it's something that has to seep into me, that pressure is a privilege, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think going through the minor leagues, it was definitely something that I thought about quite often. Because I had a really good minor league career in my first year and didn't experience a lot of failure and kind of dealt with a lot of expectations. And then we get called up to the big leagues, and like I said, and you don't succeed at first. And it's just, you're still in a good position, a 20-year-old in the big leagues. And even if you're failing, like I said, pressure's a privilege, and for people to think of you as a great player. And I mean, that's quite an honor.
I want to come back to, like, sort of handling that, because I just talked to Roman about this, about handling stuff at 21 years old. But I do, like, I wonder, do you pass it to your brother? Like, I don't know, it's like, I know that he, you know, he's lived that life too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think his situation is even more difficult than mine, being not only a son of a big leaguer, but a brother that was drafted at first, and going through the minor leagues quickly. I don't think I have an idea of kind of the stuff that he deals with as far as that, but I think he's done a great job of handling himself and just going out there, being a great teammate and enjoying the game. So you'd have to talk to him about his perspective, because it's
probably... But were you worried about him?
I'm not worried about
him. No, but were you?
Were you? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a unique situation.
Yeah.
And you want him to just feel free and be able to just enjoy the game. And I pray that he can do that and just have fun going through the minor leagues and not feel like he has to make it up to the big leagues in 2 years or be the number one prospect. That everyone has their own path.
But that's the thing, and I know that you had your dad to draw on, but with all due respect to you drawing your dad, for your brother to be able to draw on you is, I would imagine, a much more relatable, powerful thing.
I think I think so. And I hope I can be a good resource for him and anything that he's dealing with in my leagues. I know I've talked to him quite often lately. He's in Fresno, and just trying to help him navigate, learning how to be a good teammate with guys that maybe don't speak English. And
it's a whole other world.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's definitely different. You play travel baseball and guys that have similar upbringings to you, and then you go to the minor leagues and you got guys from all over the world. So just being able to be a good teammate, get to know your teammates, learn how to be professional, whether that's taking care of your body, eating right,
Is he eating right?
I think so. I mean, I don't know.
That's a big thing, man.
Yeah, like, it's a big thing. I mean, trying to stay healthy and
I don't know like what the Fresno.
I'm not sure.
He Waffle might House, In-N-Out Burger. I don't know.
I have been there one time when my dad was coming back up in my league. So, but just hopefully that I can be a resource for him.
And just sort of the last thing is, again, like I said, I know that you know Roman Anthony, but you know, I've got to know him, and I want to ask him about sort of when he learned how to handle doing stuff like this at such a young age. And for you, it's a little bit different because, again, your dad, you lived that life and you kind of saw it. I don't know if you looked at reporters, why reporters interviewing my dad or whatever, but you do it really well too. And so what was the biggest lesson when it came to understanding how to handle this stuff, like all this stuff?
Yeah, I think, like you said, like growing up in the clubhouse, I watched my dad do interviews for 15 years and the way that I feel like he treated media and everything that goes on in the clubhouse, I feel like he did a great job, and it was something that I want to be like him. You know, you want to be like your role models, like your dad's growing up. So that's just something that I watched for a long time, and I like to think I have a decent idea of what I'm doing when it comes to some of this stuff and getting kind of thrown in the fire and early in my career. And
but you know what it is, like, you're good. I'm not to interrupt, but like I know a lot of people say this. Well, man, when I was 20, when I was 21, like it's in. But you guys have to be that. Like Roman just had a press conference, you know, an hour before a game to celebrate a $130 million contract.
Yeah,
that's not something a lot of 21.
I think it's just something that you just deal with, I think, coming up in the minor leagues. And it's, like I said, it's a blessing to be able to be in these situations and learning how to handle stuff that maybe you didn't think you would have to do for a long time. And I'm very proud of Roman and everything that he's accomplished. So
I think you're genuine. I think that's you're genuine. I mean, as much as I know, I think you're genuine. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it.